Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Tuesday's elections brought some surprises, as we know. Two high-ranking lawmakers on Beacon Hill lost their primaries, and Boston City Councilor Ayanna Presley unseated incumbent Democratic Congressman Michael Capuano. To talk about how those upsets fit into the national picture and to discuss the U.S. Senate and governor's races, we're joined this morning by Jeff Berry, political scientist at Tufts University. Jeff, good to see you. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me in, Bob.
First, let's look at the U.S. Senate race between Elizabeth Warren and Jeff Deal coming up, State Representative Jeff Deal, who won the primary. How much of a role do you see President Trump playing in that race? And do you think that we'll see the president come to this state for the campaign?
I don't think we'll see President Trump here. I think he's going to head toward friendlier audiences in the South and the Midwest. He will be sending tweets out. He'll taunt Elizabeth Warren. He'll talk about her Native American heritage. He'll try to attract attention for her candidate, Jeff Deal. But the Republicans have priorities elsewhere, and that is trying to retain control of the House of Representatives. That's what the Republicans really care about.
How about for Senator Warren? Will this race this fall be a dress rehearsal for a possible 2020 presidential campaign?
I think it's already past possible 2020 campaign. She's off and running. She has people in New Hampshire. She's running around the country raising money, making appearances on behalf of candidates. So she's in. What she has to do is pretend like she takes Deal seriously and has a campaign actually here in Massachusetts.
Governor's race. Governor Charlie Baker, popular among both independents and Democrats in the state. Does his Democratic opponent, Jay Gonzalez, have much of a chance of unseating Baker?
Well, this is a David and Goliath story, and but we have to remind ourselves that Goliath usually wins in these stories. Jay Gonzalez has no money. The National Democratic Party is not supporting him. They might as well have put a billboard on the Southeast Expressway saying, we don't care about this race. Money is not going to Gonzalez. Instead, the National Democrats want to invest in the races that they care about most, and that's the House of Representatives. They don't want to put money in a long shot race in Massachusetts, and by doing so, they make that long shot a self-fulfilling prophecy of loss.
But the Baker campaign has always known it needs to cobble together a coalition of independents, some Democrats and some Republicans, to win re-election. How problematic is it then that we saw Baker's defeated Republican primary opponent, the very conservative Scott Lively, get 100,000 votes from people who might well choose to stay home in November rather than hold their noses and vote for Baker? That's a lot of votes to lose for a Republican governor.
It is a lot of votes. That's 36% of all those that turned out in the primary. Scott Lively is out of the mainstream of all Massachusetts politics. He's a virulent homophobe, for example. He had no money. He had almost no organization, and yet he did very well against Baker. So part of this was an anti-Baker vote among Republicans. We have to remember that the Republicans in this state are a tiny fraction of all the electorates. It's only 10% of the electorate, and they are very conservative. So one thing that they were doing is not simply voting against Baker, but voting for Donald Trump. They wanted to use that vote as an emphatic indication of support for the president. And Scott Lively was sort of the vehicle for that.
Can Baker win without them if they stay home?
Yes. If they stay home, he still has enough support among independents and Democrats to make it across the finish line.
Big picture for Democrats with the Ayanna Presley win in the congressional race here and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez win in New York State. Are we seeing a remake of the Democratic Party nationally?
There's a real movement here. As I teach the Congress class at my university, I always go over the demographics of Congress, and those demographics are going to change. The number of women and the number of minorities in Congress has plateaued in recent years, and both those lines are going to go up. The Democratic Party's nominated a lot more women and a significant number more people of color. What's interesting is this has not happened on the Republican side. It may be the case, depending on the outcome of the election, that there'll be fewer women in the Congress on the Republican side in 2018.
And I know you think that on Beacon Hill, there's a shift coming because of the election results on Tuesday. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. On Beacon Hill, two long-term Democratic stalwarts, Jeff Sanchez and Byron Rushing, lost to progressives, people who ran to their left, even though those two are liberal.
State representatives.
And what this is going to mean is that every state rep and state senator on the Democratic side who returns to Beacon Hill in January is going to be looking over his or her shoulder, wondering who's going to primary them from the left in 2020. And the consequence of that is it's going to pull the legislature to the left. They want votes that show how liberal they are. They don't want to have to take pragmatic, moderate votes. And this is going to put pressure ultimately on Governor Baker.
Change coming on Beacon Hill and nationally because of what's happening right now.
Absolutely.
Jeff Berry, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeff Berry is a political science researcher and professor at Tufts University.